This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
This changes, Tony, the American League East, because the Boston Red Sox now have a legitimate lineup to threaten that of the New York Yankees, and here's why. The Yankees have lost Juan Soto. Yes, they were able to add in Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt, but Bregman is a proven postseason performer who they can now add into this lineup with Rafael Devers. They've got a promising group of young players coming in like Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer at some point, whether it's this year or next year. And here is what the lineup could look like. It's interesting that we have it on the graphic, and it's a very legitimate question where exactly Bregman's going to play, because he could play second, but that would mean that Christian Campbell would not be in the lineup. If Bregman were to play third, that means Devers is the DH and Masataka Yoshida could be on the move.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was John Morosi on the Red Sox lineup after the Alex Bregman signing. You think they're done, Keith? I know Brad Foe, when we talked to him earlier, and you can check that out on the Odyssey app as well as our emergency Kiefer Madness, Jimmy Butler in his shorts.
Wow.
Make sure you go back and listen to those if you missed them. But Brad Foe said, well, they're probably not done. They're still looking to add a reliever, maybe David Robertson, maybe, I don't remember the other name he gave us, but like another middle relief option. That's not what I'm talking about. I was talking about something like what Morosi's suggesting there. Yoshida could still move. Abreu, if you're thinking big, Tristan Cassis. Like, I'm wondering if there's still another shoe like that to drop.
Well, we got a bunch of texts saying, what about Nolan Arenado? Like, what is that done? And I'm like, well, yeah, I think so.
I also think so.
But I guess there is a scenario where you put him at third and Bregman's just still playing second and Devers the DH in that scenario. Right, where Yoshida's gone, or just not the everyday DH.
Okay, right.
Hadn't thought about that either, but that's the place he wants to go.
If you're getting Arenado, then Bregman isn't at third, so what's the point of that? But
just keep him at second, and Arenado plays third. I think I just blew your brain.
Okay, well, you kind of did. Okay, that's still not what I was thinking. What's that going to cost you? It's still not much, right?
I don't think much. It seemed like that
money.
Deal was, if they didn't get Bregman, if Bregman ended up in Detroit or whatever, don't you think they just would have gotten him? And then they would have to figure that he doesn't have the second base flexibility, so they would have to figure something else out. And who knows who would have been the starting second baseman.
I would feel a lot differently about Arenado if he's in addition to Bregman than in place of Bregman.
Agreed.
And so that might be one where I'd really have to see what they gave up. Who are the, like, I don't think it's going to cost you a premium prospect, so I don't think it would bother me.
But let me
reserve the right to change my mind until I see what the actual deal was. But I think now that Bregman's here, I'm way more on board with if they want to go over the top and add Bregman and get Devers the hell off at third base. And now that's your reason to play Bregman at second? I'm more okay with Bregman at second if you have an all-time defensive third baseman like Arenado at third versus Devers, who stinks there.
Imagine if Devers blocks both those guys and they have Arenado play like first or something. You're like, wait, what?
I mean, in the world? With this team, you never know.
No, I'm open to other moves, but I'm also good if they don't. Like, I'm good right now if this is the team that they have, because you can always make changes, you know, come, you know, trade deadline and all that. They should absolutely be in the playoff mix, so they should be a buyer. The things they really need to figure out, obviously, are you know, is there any flexibility on Bregman playing third, who the closer is going to be, what the rotation is going to look like, and everything else. But overall, top to bottom, the lineup looks significantly better just by adding this one single player than it did yesterday. So a lot of reasons to be excited about it.
Do you think this represents a difference in the way the Red Sox do business? Because I think a lot of people want to leap to that. Well, they're spending money, and we've wanted them to spend money, and see, they spend money. Tough look for the they-don't-spend-money crowd. I've even seen this in Twitch, I think, from our buddy Dubs. Oh, I thought Craig Breslow and Chaim Bloom were the same, which that's just mostly because I can't keep their names straight.
And they sound similar.
And their initials are the same and all these things. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Breslow wanted to do this signing. I don't think this was Breslow's idea or that he was on board with it at all.
For the last several weeks, we've heard that Cora wants Bregman and Breslow didn't.
Correct. So
yes, you do. Yes.
So I think you know, Pete Abraham recently reported in the Boston Globe Breslow didn't want to sign him. I think it was McAdam, like, literally months ago. When we talked to Breslow after they traded for Garrett Crochet, we asked him about whether or not he was on board with making moves. He's like, I don't know where that came from, but it's been out there that long that Breslow has been the one digging his heels on not.
He wouldn't even talk about him.
Yeah.
Remember, I can't talk about free agents.
I can't talk about free agents.
What?
Which you definitely can.
Sure can.
So maybe Henry finally said, whatever, we're doing it. I want a cool picture of me, you know, puffing on cigars by the fireplace.
That was a cool picture.
In my mom jeans.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's what he wanted. I don't know. But I'm not ready to make the leap and say the Red Sox are back to doing business the way they used to. They might be back in the playoffs this year. They might be back to contending. I like their team after this move. But are they back to spending like the old Red Sox? That to me is a massive leap.
No, I don't think you can go there, because wouldn't you have said that after Devers? So they screw up the bets thing. That's gone. So it's like, all right, you can kick and scream about it, which I still do. But at some point, you need to move on as a franchise. And so they give a massive contract to Rafael Devers. Then what? Like, then what were the next big moves after that? Like, those kind of disappeared. I mean, you were haggling back and forth over $500,000 with Jaren Duran, mm-hmm. who finished in the top eight in the MVP vote last year. So you're haggling with him. You claimed to be in on Juan Soto, didn't get him, then didn't sign anybody for the longest time. And then you get Bregman, which I'm excited about. But I'm not going to say, man, next offseason, every big free agent, Red Sox are going to be in the mix. Like, I don't know. I think it's more of a case-by-case basis. Plus, Bregman was such a perfect fit. The Cora connection, the needs on the field, even the needs just like as a professional in the locker room. Like, all of those check the boxes that hard to say they're going to be willing to give a guy $40 million a year, you know, next offseason.
Well, I think the AAV is why some people make that leap. I don't think it's a straw man to say people are making that leap, that the mm-hmm. Red Sox are bagging this OC. They do spend money, and I literally heard it today. They're back to a top five or six spending team in baseball, and even when they were down, they were still 11th or 12th. Like, that to me is nonsense.
Yeah.
You should always be a top five spending team in baseball, and probably closer to two or three if you're not one.
Well, $120 million, so I know it's
Thank
all
you. Different. I think you're going to say what I was just about to say. Yeah. 40 AAV sounds massive.
40's huge. It's one of the five biggest contracts.
$120 million investment in this day and age really is not that much.
You know how many players? This is a fun. I have a lot of stats today.
I like these.
A lot of trivia.
Rich Keefe's stats and info department must have been up late last night.
Just sheer dollars. So that means you could sign a one-year deal or a 15-year deal. But mm-hmm. sheer dollars, $120 would be the what highest-ranked contract?
20th.
48th.
Holy crap.
Like, baseball money's crazy.
Is Story on that list? Does Story make more over the life of it?
Yeah. Trevor Story has $140 million coming his way, but that was over 6 years. But so he is tied for the 41st biggest contract in baseball.
Right. So like 40 AAV sounds massive, but the $120 million investment still is not significant. I'm happy they did it.
Same.
But the idea that, like, okay, the next time the Red Sox want their guy, they're going to get him. They waited 4 months for this guy.
Yeah.
And there's risk in losing him. They thought, and maybe they did peg the market right, they thought he didn't want to go to Detroit. What if at the end of the day he's like, you know what, I will take the 170 and go to Detroit. Then what?
I think they have three of the 65 biggest contracts in baseball.
Okay. Yeah, Devers, Story, and that. Okay, nice. Yeah,
so that's what they got right now. Yeah. And then, you know, if they're able to lock up Garrett Crochet, he would certainly join that list as well. But that's sort of, you know, where they're at. You know, teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees, maybe a little bit of a different story, but, you know, they don't need to outspend the Dodgers and the Yankees. They just need to outspend the Oakland A's in an offseason or outspend the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, they need to make sure they're spending more than those teams.
Yeah, well, they better do that. 617-779-7937. That's your text number. You can't change your narrative on your opinion of Breslow. Just admit you were wrong. I don't think we're changing any. This is an ownership thing. This doesn't have anything to do with Breslow.
Yeah.
And I would cite multiple reports that say Breslow didn't want to do it. Cora and Kennedy wanted to do it. Henry was more on Breslow's side. And finally, I think he broke and decided to do it.
Yeah.
So why did he do it now, I think, is an interesting question. You seem to think it's purely about the deadline and guys are about to report. Maybe Breslow said, Bregman said.
I think it's more of a Bregman thing.
Get all your offers in. I want to be on time. I don't want to be Jeremy Swayman showing up one game into the regular season out of shape, out of playing shape. And I want to be ready to go. So, you know what? This is all fun and games, but I want to sign somewhere and be ready to go in spring training. Get your last best offers in, and I'm picking a team.
Yeah, and I think the Red Sox at that point said, all right, you know, we're not going to give you a long-term deal, but what if we kind of overwhelm you in the short term? You know, the Minnesota Twins did this a few years ago with Carlos Correa, and that was it $36 million a year, like a few years ago, which seemed insane for Carlos Correa. But he got it with opt-outs and everything else. So rather than pursuing a 10-12-year deal, he signed a real short-term deal, high average annual value, and opt-outs.
Was that the offseason where he failed like four physicals and ended up in Minnesota?
I think
yeah,
so.
Because
he was
going
to go to the Giants, right? And he was like all over the place, and then he ended up there. So that was sort of a strange contract. But it was funny. Like at the end of the day, he got four different contract offers. They were all different. 2 6-year deals, a 4-year deal, and a 3-year deal. The money was different in all of them. And he ended up going for the shortest term deal, but kind of bet on yourself, which I also kind of like about this whole
thing.
Me
too.
You give a guy a 10-year deal, like who's to say they're not going to coast through a couple of those years?
So,
like they get all that money guaranteed to them.
We have 100% seen it.
Yep.
And I don't think this guy is Pablo Sandoval Keith for many obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But let me tell you one thing that does sound familiar in my commentary. I'm like, this guy's a winner. This guy's come up big on a big stage. I want a guy who's been a winning player and all these things. Those were all things we said about Sandoval. Now, there were obvious physical red flags with Sandoval that there aren't with Bregman. But I wonder if I've fallen too much in love with like the winning pedigree aspect of Bregman. I really like that about
this
Sandoval deal.
Sandoval also really stood out in the postseason.
Yeah.
Like Bregman's a better regular season player
than
Sandoval.
He's been second in the MVP voting.
Yeah. No, but that was the guy that you thought, and you know, they also thought they could market him. They thought that he could be a guy that would help sell t-shirt jerseys and panda dolls.
Do you think Bregman's marketable?
Yes. I mean, I don't think there are many baseball players overall who are like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean like at the National. I mean like here in Boston. Like, is he going to be a thing? Is he a marketable guy and a thing in Boston?
I think he can be. So this is to flip the other side. The fact that he truly has like a 1-year deal might make that a little bit tougher. Because, like, it's easier to sort of embrace Devers because you see the long-term deal and you're like, if I go buy a Devers jersey, is he going to be on the team next year? You're like, yeah, he is. Like that, right? That kind of mindset.
Right, he might not be at third base, but he'll be on the team.
Like, he's going to hit. Yeah. But somebody like Bregman, I think in the short term, yes, to answer your question, I think he can be. You know, when we go to Fenway and you see like the shirts in the stands, I think it's probably going to be a ton of Bregman ones, would be my guess.
Well, I just got my first. Jersey in my current wardrobe, not the first of my life, but if you're watching on twitch.tv,
you get a nice kit.
Yeah, you don't just tune in for Jimmy Butler pooping his pants. You can tune in for these sweet Revs kits. What are they called again? The Eastern Pine?
This is the Eastern Pine kit. Brand new for 2025.
Yeah, nice.
No big deal.
Nice. Look at that. Hello.
Yeah.
With these kits that we're wearing today.
Mm-hmm. I'm never going to take it off.
Am I going to add to my jersey, my now exponentially growing jersey connection and go get a Breslow one? I keep saying Breslow. Bregman one?
You should get a Breslow one.
I can't get Breslow's name right. I call Breslow Bloom, and now I'm calling Bregman Breslow.
It's a problem.
Too many bees.
The killer bees.
Should I go get myself a Bregman jersey? T-shirt jersey.
Yeah, I think it's a good one to
all
get.
Right, nice.
A couple years ago at like the pro shop or whatever around Fenway, and I remember being blown away that most of the jerseys in there were Yoshida and Verdugo. And I was like, oh, no.
This team's in trouble. I kind of had a similar feeling when we were at the Patriots pro shop. This is the year before Drake May.
Oh, yeah, Attack.
We were down there for the Army-Navy game that year. And we did a broadcast from down there, as you did, Keith. You were there for that. And I popped in the Patriots pro shop. And I'm like, what's in here? Yeah, it was all Mac jerseys.
Mac.
And like
Stevenson, maybe? Not even.
I don't even know.
Mac.
It might have been Mac in like throwback jerseys. And I'm like, boy, this is a rough place to be.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, where's my Zappy t-shirt jersey?
Yeah.
Couldn't even get those. So, yeah. I mean, this helps from that standpoint.
What do you think will be the most popular Red Sox jersey this year? Devers still? Duran?
I think Durant has a real case. That's actually what I was going to say.
Yeah, maybe Durant.
Durant's popular. Durant's fun to watch.
Crochet should shoot
He's
up the board.
Got some questionable things to say in the batter's box. But I would imagine that's the hot seller.
Crochet could do well.
Crochet could.
If he really starts hot and everyone's like, wow, this is what this guy's capable of.
I think Cora wanted Bregman for baseball reasons.
Definitely.
Which I applaud him for.
Yes.
You know, if you go into a slump and you got to cook up a cheating scandal, these two are aligned. So I think Cora wanted him for baseball reasons.
Yep.
I think Kennedy wanted him for the reasons we just talked about, selling T-shirts and bobbleheads and things like this. I don't think Breslow wanted him. And I think Henry finally broke. So why? The question now is why? And I get the Twitch chat, $10 shake, was saying, who cares about the last 5 years? Just look forward to this year.
Well,
I mean, I just wonder if the last 5 years inform us to what they're going to do going forward, or if this is a legitimate, you know, break in their trends. I hope it's a change, but I'm not sold on that. Let's get to some phone calls here. Brian is in Salem. Hello, Brian.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you? I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm glad your ratings are up, and I want you to last forever because you're my favorite show on the radio.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Brian.
That being said, what do you think about Big Poppy, the ambassador for the Red Sox, having a conversation with Rafael and convincing him that going to a DH spot, minimizing any hurt feelings, and he could be the next big DH from the greatest DH in the history of the game.
Okay, I think the Red Sox would have to want to move Devers.
Yeah.
Why do you think Bregman is at second base? Whose call, or what's the motivation behind that?
I don't know if it's something that they agreed to when Devers signed the contract.
So you think Devers was like, I'll sign your deal and I'll take your money.
I think it's,
and I won't go to free agency, but I want to play third base.
I think it's more he wants to play third than they say, we're paying you all this money, you have to play third. Because if they're going to pay this guy all this money to play second, like, that doesn't add up. And I know it's less years, but still, there's a chance you pay a guy $120 million to play 3 years of second base.
But it's a higher AAV and less years. But it's a way less significant investment. Like John Henry's investing $320 million or whatever it is to Devers. This is $200 million more than what they're spending on Bregman. And if Bregman opts out after a year, it's a lot more. So,
but if a really good DH hit the market right now, he'd probably get $30 million a year.
Yeah. So I wonder. I don't know, but I wonder if the motivation is John Henry saying we're not paying this guy $300 million to DH, which I think is silly.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's the motivation and why they won't do it. But regardless,
but maybe if the Red Sox out of that.
If the Red Sox need to sell him and the caller's right, sure, bring David Ortiz to go convince him.
This is the problem with Henry not watching the games and seeing Devers boot the ball all around third base. If he saw that, he'd be like, DH him.
Good point.
Like, you're already paying him. So, right? Like, what's the best thing for the team? When you initially signed him, I could see saying,
he's
third base.
Since when do they do the best thing for the team, Keith?
Well, they signed Bregman yesterday.
Okay, so I mean, that's like a brand new thing. But for like 3 or 4 years, they haven't done anything close to what's best for the team.
Well, people can change. If
they
can change, I can change. People can change.
Well, when you throw that in my face.
There needs to be some convincing to somebody. Whether you're convincing Devers, you're convincing, I don't think you have to convince Cora. I think he's just trying to say all the right things. Or you're convincing, like, Henry. Somebody needs to convince it. I don't hate the caller's idea. Like, if it's really a Devers thing and Cora tries to explain it to him, then you have Ortiz be like, listen, it's great. Just focus on your hitting. Here's what I did during the game to sort of stay invested. Because I think that's some player's issue is, like, I just sit around for how long and then I got to go take my four hacks.
I think it legitimately helps the team from multiple standpoints. The defense is self-evident. Bregman over Devers at third. I think it has the potential to help as bad as well. And I guess what you just said could be the case where I got too much time on my hands. I'm thinking about it too much. But you can really focus on hitting. You won't have, the injuries and attrition keep you off the field or affect you at the plate because you're not going to get hurt diving around for ground balls. And on top of that, there's no like carrying over your errors or a bad defensive play to your next at bat. I think it would tangibly help him at the plate. But that one's projection. The defense, I don't think there's any debate to. You want a trade idea from David in Florida?
No.
David in Florida, what do you got?
Good afternoon. First of all, I got a trade thing you were talking about earlier. What about Casas and Rafaela? Rafaela is surplus because they got Durant in center field. What about Rafaela and Casas to Toronto for Vlade?
What do you think?
Sure.
Vlade Divac? That would be the trick.
One of the best big man passers of all time.
That'd be the trick. Toronto goes, we'll do it for Vlade. And you go, done. And they go, ha!
Dude, I'll take Guerrero.
Yeah.
Definitely take Vlad Guerrero. A lot of the reports were like maybe next year they end up getting him, right? Wasn't one of the national guys was like, he projected like 2026 Guerrero will be on the Red Sox.
Okay, but this is when we're talking about, are the Red Sox actually going to do business differently? This is what we're talking about.
Yeah. If they're in on somebody like that, then like, okay.
No. If they sign Vladdy Jr., at the winter meetings next year.
Vladdy Sr. might have some game left.
He might. Honestly, I'd take him.
Yeah.
If they sign him next year at the winter meetings, it's like, oh, okay, now they're back. That's the kind of move that would represent the Red Sox being back. Playing chicken for 4 months and hoping and praying he wouldn't go back to Houston or sign in Detroit or take the Cubs' latest offer, that's not prioritizing a player. That's not really changing the way you do business. Yeah. I'll give you credit for spending the money,
yeah,
but that does not represent a shift to me. Guerrero would. 617-779-7937. See, and you don't want to take that trade idea, Keith.
Was I right?
No, I'd say at the end of the day, you were probably right about that. We'll get to WEI Afternoons. We'll see what they have coming up. Hart and Fitzy and Ted, they come your way at 2. We'll get you our clip du jour, Billy Lanny, with all the latest and trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
Grab Bag.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Red Sox and infielder Alex Bregman have reached an agreement on a 3-year deal worth $120 million. The deal includes opt-out options after seasons 1 and 2. It's 3 wins in a row for the Celtics after last night's 116-103 win over the Spurs at the Garden. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 32 points. The Seas enter the All-Star break with a record of 39-16. Brad Marchand scored in Canada's 4-3 overtime win against Sweden in last night's Four Nations face-off tournament opener. Tonight, Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Swayman, and Team USA take on Finland. Puck drop in Montreal is at 8 o'clock, and this game can be seen on ESPN. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Oh, it certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Once again, thank the Revs for sending in these new kits, the fresh kits.
Fire.
Yeah, they look pretty awesome.
They also sent us some shaving equipment as well, which I don't know what that says about us.
It wants us to clean it up a little bit.
I would think.
I get it. I get it. I have no problem with that. But let's get into the stuff that we didn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, including the New York Jets made it official today. They're going to be moving on from Aaron Rodgers. So the Aaron Rodgers era is over in New York.
Did you see the story that came out, I think, from your girl, Diana Rossini?
Yep.
That the Jets asked him to stop doing outside interviews like McAfee.
Yeah, they're done with McAfee for some reason.
And he wouldn't do that. It's part of the reason that he's gone.
Wouldn't budge on that.
My guess is he's gone either way. I thought Florio had a good point. Like, Rodgers has been relatively quiet in the meantime. Normally he's not afraid to say anything. He's probably just biding his time until he gets a job, and then he'll take plenty of shots at the Jets organization. But I don't think he wants to jeopardize any potential deals he has out there or any potential landing spots by fanning the flames with the Jets right now.
Bill Barnwell
posted when the offer the Jets say, and we've informed Rodgers we're moving on. He said, 2 second-round picks, $75 million, the contracts of Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, and Tim Boyle, another third-round pick and $11.6 million for Davante Adams, a year plus with Nathaniel Hackett as offensive coordinator, 5 wins.
Nice. Nice.
So where do you think he plays next year?
I think I saw a stat going around that Cam Newton won more games in his 1 year with the Patriots than Rodgers in 2 with the Jets. Now, he basically missed a full year,
amazing,
but for effect.
Still, well, yeah, but he got hurt.
What were you going to say?
Where do you think Rodgers plays?
J-E-T-E Jets.
Where do you think Rodgers plays?
Well, we played out the odds yesterday. Pittsburgh has the highest odds as of the other day. I
still say the Raiders.
I think there's a Steeler that came out and was like, dude, we don't want you.
Really?
Oh, who?
I'm
really?
Trying to find who it was.
Interesting. I'm with you. I think,
that's interesting.
I think it's probably Vegas.
Yeah.
If I had to handicap it,
if you had your druthers.
I think the favorite is Pittsburgh, yeah.
Grab bags.
Jones, your favorite, the International Bean Pot, a.k.a. the Four Nations Face-Off, dropped the puck last night. It was Canada, Sweden.
Wait, that started?
Yeah, last night.
Oh, man, I figured I would be hearing a ton about this with Matthew Tkachuk thinking it was basically a Stanley Cup game.
Well, I'm getting to it now.
Okay.
And Canada was able to pull out the 4-3 overtime winner against the Swedes.
That's honestly all over.
Took down the Swedes.
All over Canada. They must be embarrassed today.
Yep. Brad Marchand scored a goal.
Oh, good for him.
Yep. And people are saying, Sidney Crosby still got it. Still got it. That's what everybody's saying.
Sid the kid, turn back the clutch.
Hockey Twitter.
Childlike days.
Hockey Twitter was a flutter last night.
I'm sure. Our future 51st state, as I heard Curtis referring to it today, of Canada. They must be embarrassed that they went to overtime against Sweden, right? Isn't that embarrassing?
Yeah, it was a tune-up game. Tune-up game. Big tilt on Saturday with the, against the Americans.
It was a look-ahead spot, maybe.
Well,
they were caught with their pants down looking ahead a little bit there.
I'm a little concerned tonight. You have Team USA Finland. There could be a little bit of that as well.
Well, and how,
look-ahead game.
How's this fair in the International Bean Pot? How is it fair that Canada played yesterday and now the U.S. has to play today and then they're both got to turn around and play on Saturday? That's not fair.
Life's not fair. And this, you could say, is a metaphor for life.
Well, that's a good point. You got to overcome. Yeah.
Jack, I wanted you to draw me like one of your
grab bags.
Wearing this. Wearing only this.
Remember last year what a fun sensation it was when Steph Curry took on Sabrina Ionescu in a three-point shootout at the NBA All-Star Break? Do you remember this?
Buckets of fun. Yes, I remember
it
that.
It wasn't the traditional three-point contest. They did that separately. Then they had a one-on-one Curry-Ionescu, and Curry won, but it was super close, and they were talking about maybe doing a rematch. They're not doing a rematch.
No?
It has been scrapped.
Who scrapped it?
So here, you want to know what my theory is on this?
Yes.
My conspiracy?
Absolutely.
Caitlin Clark. There were talks that they wanted Caitlin Clark to be a part of it in some way.
Yeah,
a lot of honkies in here.
Yeah,
so,
Caitlin Clark.
So they wanted Caitlin Clark. She was like, no.
And no, so, yeah. I mean, no, don't ask her. Yeah.
Because this was also the thought. This, they were going to.
Good, good, good.
I think it's in Golden State, right? They're hosting it.
Yes. Yeah,
so
it's in San Francisco, yeah.
The thought was they might do Curry and Klay Thompson against Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark. But like last week, there was like a random report that came out. It was like Caitlin Clark turned down any kind of three-point shootout thing at the men's NBA three-point shootout. And so I think they're like, do we just run back the rematch? Or are people even going to care about this? Or they should be like, where the hell is Caitlin Clark?
So why wouldn't she do it? What's she afraid of?
I don't know. Maybe she's like, why should I? Should have done it last year.
Oh, she feels slighted.
I don't know. No, I have no idea if she feels slighted. Or maybe she's like, I'm not going to do that. I don't need to go out there and do that. What's the point?
I mean, what's the point?
Why does she want to?
Why would she not want to?
Maybe she says, I'm going to do it at the WNBA three-point shootout.
Okay.
Yeah, that's that well, something they do? I don't know.
Look, I need to educate myself more on this. But like, if she said no, why? I don't even like Peyton Pritchard saying no to the three-point contest. Why is she saying no to this?
Gonna rest?
I guess.
Oh.
Grab bag.
Well, we're not getting Curry Ionescu, but what we are getting, and we kind of mentioned this yesterday, but this news hadn't happened until after we got off the air. John Rocker versus Patrick Mahomes Sr.
Hell yeah.
At Rough and Rowdy.
Nice.
So the barstool like boxing event that they usually just grab like two dudes out of the woods in West Virginia and have them beat the snot out of each other.
Yeah.
That. But with John Rocker and Patrick Mahomes Sr.
Okay, now I saw the video of El Prez saying they have paperwork signed and everything. It's like a done deal. It's going to happen.
What are the
odds about this?
I say it again.
Are you excited about this?
Well, what are the odds it actually happens?
15%?
Like, there's no chance. Patrick Mahomes Sr.
Do you see John Rocker tweeting about it? I think he's getting
He's stepping through the ropes. No, but John Rocker is an insane person.
That's right.
He'll do this.
John Rocker's definitely going
to
do this.
Right. What the odds that Patrick Mahomes Sr. backs out of this have to be ridiculously high. Because what's his defense? Let's say he gets in, let's say he actually gets into the ring and he's going to fight John Rocker.
Yeah.
What's your plan?
Beat him up.
Bye.
Oh, get touched and crap?
Man.
That's a good one.
Be done. Yeah. I think his only hope is that just John Rocker's less mad by then. I think that's like his only hope.
You got to tire him out.
Maybe.
I don't think Rocker's probably a ton of calisthenics.
What do you think the stamina is on old drunk Patrick Mahomes Sr.?
He's wiry, though.
He is very wiry.
He looks like a guy that I think would have a better chance of going, let's say, two rounds in a boxing match than Rocker would.
Yeah.
Rocker's going to get blown up. Like, these guys sometimes look like $1 million. Billy, as you know, it happens in wrestling all the time. They look enormous. They sprint to the ring. They get in there. They do one move, and they're like, oh, my God.
Glamour muscles.
I need a break. Although, to Rocker's credit, I shouldn't say that.
He's a good guy. Go for it.
Your favorite?
Yeah.
He would sprint in like a son of a gun bullpen. Yeah. And then he still was throwing just cheese.
Absolutely.
25 years ago.
Yeah. That's true.
Bullets. These guys have a relationship from their baseball playing days. They hated each other then, and they hate each other now.
I was unaware of that, but this makes sense.
Yeah, no, this isn't, like, this beef apparently didn't start on Bourbon
It wasn't
Street.
Just like, hey, no. man, you spilled your hurricane on me. This is a longer standing feud. Got it. I didn't realize that.
So you're saying it doesn't happen, or...
I don't think it happens, but if it did, does Patrick Mahomes, does he have to go cheer his dad on? Does he have to be there? His dad's at all his games. Doesn't he have to go?
Maybe Mahomes' brother goes.
Maybe that's
the does a TikTok about it or something.
Good call, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
his wife goes.
Another good guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
A full great family.
Yeah.
Do you think Taylor Swift goes?
Taylor Swift. It's with all the yokels in West Virginia cheering on. She's like, Travis, what are we doing?
She can sing the anthem.
Oh, I know love is love, but we're breaking. This is where I draw
Why did
the
you take me?
Yeah, in? I'm out.
She's like, well, Patrick's dad's fighting John Rocker. Probably should go see that.
Yeah.
So I never thought the Jose Canseco fight would happen, and then it did, and then he just threw it. So if they offer these guys money to do it.
So that could happen. I could see that.
Then
happen.
They might get in the
Patrick
ring.
Patrick Mahomes Sr. just takes a dive.
Yeah, because like you never actually get like the
out,
crazy
blacks out and face plants. I could see that. Yeah, yeah.
Neither guy should drive to the event, or we will not have it.
No,
and you put a lot of people at risk, so we're not doing that.
When it's around 1:30 and the takes continue to stay hot, the Jones and Keefe grab bag's a really cool spot. There's no other place to hear the grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag, the Jones and Keefe grab bag, the Jones and Keefe grab bag. You're happy now, Jones.
I am, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Markelle Fultz going to the Sacramento Kings.
Oh.
How do you feel about Markelle Fultz?
Nice. I'll tell my father-in-law to go to a game.
Yeah, tough first round.
Hey, Greg, you hear you guys got Markelle Fultz? That's a good get.
Tough number one pick, if we're being honest.
I was very much liked him in that draft. I don't know where you stood on Markelle Fultz that year. I was a big fan.
No.
In a long list of bad takes, that was one of them.
I didn't love him. I think a red flag to me is when this happened with Ben Simmons, too, who I actually liked, but maybe I learned my lesson from this. If you can't bring your team to the tournament, you shouldn't be the number one overall pick. You got to at least make the tournament. You don't have to do much.
I mocked this take at the time. I don't know if we were still working together at the time, but
no,
I mocked this take at the time. I didn't realize you were one of these, but you know what?
I'm one of these.
Despite mocking it, I was very wrong about that, because that's in retrospect, a big red flag. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I would say so. All right.
Grab bag. Oh, that's a winner.
Yep, that's what we're doing. So T. Higgins, I was told there's a T. Higgins update on Twitter.
Oh yeah, it was no. I'm sorry.
On his Instagram.
You want me to pull that up?
Yeah, I don't really see it, to be honest.
I got it for you. It's in the
The one?
Bottom of the show doc.
Is it a story or is it a post?
It could be a story. T. Higgins.
Yeah.
With just one of those screens where it's just text.
Yeah.
Priorities are rare.
Oh, wow.
Options are everywhere.
Priorities?
Priorities are rare.
They are?
I don't know. This sounds a little
priorities are rare?
This sounds a little bit like Breslow saying it's hard to...
I think you could dig into that if that's
hard
true.
To define urgency.
Yeah.
Priorities are rare, but let's focus on the second part.
Okay.
Options everywhere.
So wow.
Doesn't that mean he's leaving
Cincinnati?
Is
New England one of those options?
Well, I would hope, but
sir?
If he's emphasizing options, that means he's probably leaving Cincinnati, right? If I had to read into that.
I think he's leaving Cincinnati, but they can always franchise him, right? Familiar? So it's a little bit out of his hand.
Well, maybe he knows. Maybe he knows that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't. This is a. There's a song attached to it as well on Instagram. I don't know enough about the work of Lord Vision, New Blessings.
Yeah.
I got to dig in on those lyrics. Maybe
Lord
I can find
Vision, okay.
Find some Easter eggs in there. But I would say.
Actually, we have that song.
Oh, you do?
Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag!
Teagan said that?
Yeah.
On Instagram?
He's pumping it.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
How about who was your best NBA performer from last night?
Only one answer,
games.
Keith. Only one answer.
Well, I got five options for you, including, actually, six options. Jimmy Butler.
Nope.
One poop. All right, Jamal Murray, 55 points.
That's it.
Wow. Yeah. You know what he was excited about? Four Nations. His team Canada got a big win. So
yeah.
Jamal Murray popped off.
A little extra wind in his Canadian sails, yeah.
What if I told you Zion Williamson?
Played?
33 points.
I go, wow.
We should put him on the list.
Yeah, he's just out there.
33-9-7.
Wow.
It's a nice night. That's Kyrie Irving, 42-7, and caused Jimmy Butler to defecate himself.
One charge. Poopy pants Jimmy Butler, yep.
Karl-Anthony Towns, your guy's heating up for the Knicks.
Nice player.
44 points, 10 boards. And Jordan Poole, 42-5-5.
Must have been some baddies
been
in the crowd.
Yeah,
I'd do a bit if he's playing like that.
A stallion down there?
Yeah. But seriously.
They did lose in overtime.
Yeah, it takes him off the list.
Megan the Stallion?
Yeah. No, I would go with Jamal Murray. I'll tell you, though, Torrey Craig with Megan the Stallion?
Yes.
The significant other there?
Yes.
A couple of threes last night. Looking looking real nice.
Not too bad.
Yeah, put him on the list.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right. Sort of in line with Alex Bregman and the position changes, I'll give you this guy who played third base, second base,
okay,
as well as shortstop and first base.
Wow.
I would say primarily a third baseman, though, but you could move him around the diamond if need be,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He also was a two-time All-Star. He had a couple of real big home run seasons, including one where he hit 41 taters.
Wow.
Played for six teams in his illustrious career. The Orioles, Blue Jays, Expos, Diamondbacks, A's, and Twins.
Say those again. Orioles,
Blue Jays,
yep.
Expos,
uh-huh.
Snakes, A's, Twins.
Okay.
Broke into the majors in 1996, where he was able to finish seventh in the Rookie of the Year voting. And then his last game played was in 2007.
Okay.
2007.
You say he's a two-time All-Star?
Twice an All-Star.
What years and what teams?
2000 with the Jays and 2002 with the Orioles. So he was a real AL East foe for quite a while. Had 300 RBI seasons with three different teams.
I know this is wrong. I want to, like, Troy Gloss. It's not Troy Gloss.
No.
You didn't say the Angels on the list.
No, it's not Troy Gloss. No.
Mike. This guy. It wasn't Mike? Mike Bordick.
No, it's not Mike Bordick. You think it's Mike?
No. Mike Bordick definitely never hit 41 home runs.
No.
I was trying to think of guys who were even on
41 bombs, two-time All-Star, seventh in the Rookie of the Year, played all over the infield. I'll give you, do you want a huge hint?
Yes, please.
Had a very unique batting stance.
We already had this guy.
We did?
Who was it?
Didn't we have Tony Bautista?
He got it!
We already had Tony Bautista, didn't we? No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Where's your grid?
That's why, yeah.
Where's your Excel sheet?
Look at your grid. You have a whole Excel sheet.
I can't keep doing this.
part of the reason I wasn't guessing him earlier is I'm like, we've already done this.
I got to come up with random new players.
I don't think we got it until you said unique batting stance.
It's true. I got a big hint for you. Yeah, me too. We already used him. That'd be my hint. That guy played, so honestly, what was throwing me off too about his name, not just that we used him before, he played shortstop and second and first. I got another one for you.
Re-rack it.
I got another one for you.
Start over again.
He was a one-time All-Star. He played for the A's, Orioles, Blue Jays, and Mets.
Mike Bordick.
Yes.
He got it!
A rare two random baseball players.
They were teammates.
Nice.
Yeah, they're teammates in the 96 A's. Good squad.
Yeah, real nice team there. So now we have Tony Batista. You are now the second member.
He's the new Raul Ibanez. Move over, Raul Ibanez.
You're now the second member.
Damn it. I thought that was
the two-time random baseball player of the day club. I mean, I'm like 99% sure we used him before, right?
I don't think
so. Right, Billy? Did we not? I'm almost positive.
I'm pretty sure you used Tony Batista.
Yeah, me too.
Who was the other one?
Bordick?
Ibanez.
Ibanez.
Yeah, no, I knew that one. I knew we got
that. Like, that's like a next level.
This might be the third time we've used somebody twice.
Classic.
I think you're full of baloney.
All right, double check your Excel sheet over there. Right. That's the random base. Well, this is somewhat less random than others in the random baseball player of the day. Perhaps you've heard that.
I let everybody down. Everybody's.
Oh,
mad.
We got Mike. Don't forget about that. You can jump in line. We've got your phone call, 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. What Art, Fitzy, and Ted have coming up, find out. And we'll get you our clip du jour next.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Time now for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones, you ready for that?
Sounds nice. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today we started our weekly hits with Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Great timing.
Oh, wonderful timing.
A lot of Alex Bregman, although he also brought up a filmmaker. He decided to bring this up, making some sort of comparison. So let's have a real listen
to
that.
Yeah, how'd
this go? Yeah. You were talking about Morgan Spurlock.
Spurlock.
Yeah, he's dead. You know the scene that I was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where he was off the walls after eating his McDonald's, and then 15 minutes later, he's like in a food coma. Yeah.
Well, now he's in a food coma in the sky because
I know.
Passed last year.
I want to go there. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
For telling
you brought him up, Rob.
Before I forget, one of my favorite segments that you guys do is obviously baseball related. The random baseball player of the day, right? Yeah. I love it.
Were you? Because I was just gonna go here, Bradfo, with a Morgan. I thought I was gonna say Morgan Ensberg, maybe a random baseball player of the day, Morgan Ensberg.
Well, Morgan Burkhart.
Burkhart, great one.
Which by the way, one executive said his best tool is a fork, which I always thought was great.
Same with Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah, no, that's true.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a history lesson.
Yeah, deep cut. We haven't a lot of supersized me
and apparently
references.
Some current events there for Bradfo as well.
I was like, you remember the scene where he was eating the cheeseburger?
Well, that's pretty much the whole movie.
That was the premise of the movie.
Yeah.
Made him real famous, though. And then I think he made a sequel, which I don't believe I saw.
Downsize Me?
No. Just like more supersize me more.
Oh, one of those.
I think along those lines.
Got it.
He did one of those. But
and then you got the good scouting report on Morgan Burkhart. You never know what you're gonna get there.
No, but then Bradford at the end of that was like, "Hey, I'll start doing random baseball players to you guys, and we'll do like roster invitees."
I'm like,
we won't get those.
If Bradford wanted to give us a random baseball player,
great,
I'll hear you out.
Don't repeat them.
Random. So what was his hint today? We have a full
guy
week.
Who had the most.
We have a full week to Google it. We've already Googled it and have the answer. But what is it again?
The guy who has hit the most batters in like a
season.
In like an international league or something? Yeah. I don't even know what it was.
Yeah, it wasn't. And I'd never heard of the guy.
I guess Chapman.
I can't. Yeah, it was a good guess.
Chapman.
It was a good guess. So we'll see how that goes next
week. Yeah, no doubt.
Rob Bradford on today on a Bruins Thursday. I know you guys have the Razor coming up today, which I'm very much looking forward to. What else do you have, Andy, on the show?
So, yeah, we got Razor 4:30. Probably talk some Brad Marchand. Probably talk some Four Nations.
Careful how you do.
Yeah,
I'd be worried about how you phrase it.
Have you guys noticed this little rumblings out there, rumors, like, could he just retire after the season? Is that why they haven't signed a contract? That why they wouldn't trade him, that he's just going to walk away?
I haven't heard that.
Ask that question. You don't hear everything.
No, you asked, have we heard that? I said, yeah. I have not heard that.
Is this a heart scoop?
Heart scoop.
No. This is like internet rumor, speculation.
Yeah. Heart Sweet. Scoop. Yeah.
I wouldn't call it that. 3:30, we'll talk to Tom E. Curran about all things Patriots. And then 5:30, we're going to talk to Sean Pendergast, who is Ted Johnson's former co-host in Houston. Obviously has some inside knowledge of Alex Bregman and what he meant to the Astros and that city, maybe what he has left in the tank. But it's going to be a big Bregman baseball day. I think we all kind of got what we wanted. I mean, if Dan Shaughnessy is going to be happy... I mean, you read his column and you're like, wow.
Doesn't want
he's happy?
Yeah. I didn't. Is Shaughnessy happy today?
Oh, like all.
Now that makes me happy.
Unicorns and puppies and butterflies and all of that.
He never invited me to the IHOP before he the Shaughnessy show on Saturday mornings. But I picture him very happy there, so that's good. That's good to picture him like that. Yeah.
I don't know if he's cigar-smoking happy or just IHOP happy, where he is on that spectrum. But, no, a lot of goodwill. Seems like also, though, expectation.
Oh,
Now you got to be a playoff team.
Have to be in the playoffs.
It's not if you compete, if this, like, you have to be a playoff team. Also, do you guys put a lot of stock in Baseball Reference? Do you use that as a
How do you think I find my random baseball players?
Do you notice they project Garrett Crochet to have 6 wins this year?
Seems low.
No.
I hope it's low, because I'm not sure they're a playoff team.
Need a few more
wins
than those.
They're projecting him for 6 wins?
6. Now, I don't know enough about the site. Is that just a pure
like
statistical
last 3-year
average?
Thing, probably. Yeah. I mean, if I had to guess, I don't know
if
how they come up with
don't
6
post
otherwise.
It. Yeah, like, don't post that. Don't put that out there, like, that your credibility of your website or the alarming nature of it to fans from his team is a bad idea.
They also project him for 2 saves. I bet he doesn't get those.
Yeah, probably not.
It's weird. Like, projected 127 innings.
Yeah,
like,
totally stats-based. Totally,
really,
like, the numbers just averaged out from previous years. But, all right, it's flawed.
Real quick, just to close this loop, somebody on Twitter named Steve gave me an update. There was a Super Size Me 2. It was called Holy Chicken, where apparently he just ate a bunch of chickens.
Kind of like our guy Freeze Pops.
Yeah, apparently that's supposed to be healthier for you.
Yeah.
That was a salad.
Grilled chicken. Yeah. But grilled chicken salad, I believe.
Yeah.
Protein. Get the grilled chicken.
Protein first.
It's like fish tacos when they want it. You want the fried or the grilled? Fried.
Yeah.
I definitely want the, You can take your grilled and you can pack it away.
Stick right, I look like I'm on a diet. I don't need it anymore. Thanks for waking me up.
Seriously, why are you even suggesting I need the grilled there? Thank you very much. So that's coming up today on WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart, you got Fitzy, you got Ted. The crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can treat your Valentine at the 99 Restaurant February 14th through the 16th and enjoy delicious menu specials like the juicy 18-ounce T-bone steak, lobster-topped haddock, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the Nines. We're back tomorrow on a Friday. We got our 4-pack. We got Keith's keys to, I wonder. We also have the week in review. I'll be doing all that tomorrow morning at 10 here on WEEI.